May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 746. Jesus is our God and Saviour, guide and counsellor and friend, bearing all our misbehaviour, kind and loving to the end. Trust him, he will not deceive us, though we hardly of him deem. He will never, never leave us, nor will let us quite leave him. Hymn 746.
Thank you. two portions of scripture this evening. The first, Psalm 61. Psalm 61. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me, and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle for ever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God for ever. O prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name for ever, that I may daily perform my vows. And now the Song of Solomon, chapter 2. The Song of Solomon, chapter 2. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up, nor awake my love, till he please. The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh, leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. O my dove, that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. Let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice. For sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies. Until the day break, and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Betha. May God bless that reading of his holy word to us and teach us how to pray. Most merciful, kind and gracious, ever-loving Lord God in heaven, oh, we do pray and thank thee for this great mercy of gathering around thy word in thy house this evening. Oh Lord, we do pray that thou wilt abide with us, for it is evening and the day is far spent. That thou wilt abide with us both now and forevermore. Oh, that we may know that close walk with thee, that we may have true fellowship with thee, that we may know that union and communion with thee. Oh, we do pray, dear Lord, that thou wilt come and lead us each into thy word this evening. Oh, we do pray for thy blessing to rest upon the service of thy house. We pray, Lord, that there may be the signs following for thy honour and glory. We beg, Lord, that thou would get to thyself all the honour and glory. Oh, we are poor, needy sinners. We've nothing good in and of ourselves to plead this evening. We dare not bring anything, Lord. We've nothing worthy of making mention of. Oh, but we plead that blood that did for sin atone. Oh, that's our only hope, dear Lord. That's our only plea this evening as we gather, that thou would have mercy upon us, and that we each may be found washed in the Redeemer's blood, that thou cleanse us from all sin and uncleanness. Oh, that thou wilt create in each one a clean heart, and renew a right spirit within us. Oh, that thou wilt, oh Lord, draw us away from the things of this life. Oh, that they may not take our minds, our desires, these inferior things that so often plague us. Lord, lift us above them. Raise us above the inferior things this evening. May we have an hour in thy courts, entirely taken up with thee. Oh, do show thyself through the lattice. May we see no man save Jesus only this evening. May there be those with that desire in their hearts. Oh, sir, we would see Jesus. Oh, may we not leave disappointed. Oh, may we not leave unsatisfied. But do feed us with the bread of life. Oh, may there be the living water flowing this night. May thirsty souls drink. May sin-bitten souls look and live. May a precious Christ be lifted up on the gospel pole. And draw our eyes to thyself. Oh, to feel a need. Lord, what a mark What a mercy to feel a need of a Saviour, to feel a need of forgiveness, to feel eternity as a tremendous sound. Oh, we beg then, Lord, that thou would come and convince each of their sins. Leave none to pass by as the world. Leave none in the peace that this world offers, that will be shattered one day. But may we be drawn and led into everlasting peace. Oh, may we be found building our hopes for heaven on the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Oh, may we be led to the Lord Jesus as our only hope, our only plea. Oh, we are guilty, wretched, helpless sinners who can do nothing to merit or to move a love toward Thee. Oh, but we rest on Thy unchanging love. And may that love, the love of an almighty God, be flowing to each soul, we pray. Oh, Lord, we do ask that Thou bless us each. We think of the young children. Lord, they're not too young to die. Oh, they're not too young for a work of grace in their hearts. Oh, Lord, if there are any here this evening under that conviction of sin, feeling the weight of their sins, oh, Lord, may it be, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. For such is the kingdom of God. Oh, may it be so. May each of the little children come unto thee in thy time and thy way. Oh, but we thank thee for the children. Oh, we bring them each before thee. Pray that thou art help them as they grow up in an evil world. We've much, Lord, to distress as we look around, that the rise in the spirit of Antichrist we see in our day. We beg that thou wilt not take thy Holy Spirit's influence away from this world. Oh, Lord, we see thy hand keeping mankind from falling into utter depravity, but we do pray that thou wilt restrain and help thy dear people, and may Satan's plans be frustrated. May thy spirit be poured out amongst us. Have mercy upon this land and nation. Turn again unto us. Lord, we pray that thou wilt bless us. Oh, and we think of the children, may they live to see better days. Lord, may we live to see better days. Oh, may the churches, our little denomination, be a fruitful garden. Do build up that hedge around us. Keep the world out, Lord, and do pour in thy blessings. May the clouds disperse, that the beams of sunshine flood into the garden. May we know the warming, the life-giving effect. Lord, stir us up. Give us right zeal toward thee and thy house. Oh, may there be those who are stirred up in prayer, that they wrestle and sigh and cry for the abominations done in the land, who see the desolations in our churches and mourn over it, and beseech thee that thou wilt return with blessings. Oh, fill our places with praying, seeking, longing souls. How many pass by? How many in this neighbourhood, Lord, unconcerned, yet could it please thee that there are some out there in this neighbourhood with their names in that book of life. Bring them in, we humbly beg, and gather in from the congregation into the church. Here we do pray, and may all the honour and glory be to thy holy name. May we not be slack in making mention of the loving kindnesses and tender mercies of the Lord. Oh, may we be willing in the day of thy power. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Oh, may we see a day of thy power this day. Those willing, drawn with everlasting love, constrained to come and tell to sinners round what a dear Saviour they have found. But may we not be slacking these things. Oh, may we have that desire to put the crown on thy head. Oh Lord, we are prone to unbelief. Oh, do take away that God-dishonouring sin from us. Help us, Lord, we pray. Keep us walking rightly before thee. May we not be ashamed of thee. Oh Lord, we fear left to ourselves what would become. But we thank thee that thou hast promised, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Oh, then may we trust thee more. We would say like thy disciples, Lord, increase our faith. Lord, we do then pray for the children. We pray for parents, bringing up children in this evil world. Give grace, wisdom and ability. Be with them, Lord, as they seek to bring them to the house of God. Oh, we do pray that thou wilt help them. And be with any who may feel loneliness, disappointment, any walking difficult pathways. Thou knowest the cases before us. We know not, Lord, but thou knowest. Each heart is open to thee. Oh, do help, we beg. Make known thyself, the friend of sinners. He whom we are able to go to by thy Spirit for wisdom, and thou dost not upbraid us. And Lord, we pray that each may be drawn to thy dear feet in confession of sin and true God-given repentance, and may we know peace, that peace in believing. Oh Lord, may there be souls set at liberty. May hearts be touched. May evidences be confirmed. May doubts be removed. Oh, may strength be given. Oh, give more grace. Oh, to be made more like thee. Oh, we look to thee for everything. For we know and believe without thee we can do nothing. And there are some of us here, Lord, who would say, without thee we can do nothing, and we dare not do anything without thee. Oh, may there be those seeking direction. Grant them a word of direction, we pray. They may hear a voice behind them saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Oh, do help then the young people in the choices and decisions they have to make. Partners in life, careers, many things, Lord, before them. If spared, may they commit their ways unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. May it be all our concerns, all our ways, all things into thy hand. Lord, we do pray then that thou pardon and forgive every sin. Do wash us and make us clean. Fit and prepare us each to stand before thy face. We know not when that will be, but it must be, Lord. Oh, then may we be ready, made right, by thy Spirit and by thy grace. Oh, we plead for pardon of every sin, pardon all that we've asked amiss. We ask, Lord Jesus, in thy name, amen.
Hymn number 109. Awake my heart, arise my tongue, prepare a tuneful voice. In God, the life of all my joys, aloud will I rejoice. Hymn 109.
Thank you.
you turn with me this evening to the Song of Solomon, chapter 2. With the Lord's help, this evening I'll speak to you from the last part of the third verse. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, the last part of the third verse. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. The Song of Solomon, chapter 2, the closing part of the third verse. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. Here we have set forth in this beautiful book that special and sacred relationship between the Lord Jesus and his church, the bride of Christ, the bride, the church of God, and the bridegroom, the Lord Jesus, that the union and communion between the bride and the bridegroom, the mutual love that flows. We're often found thinking wrongly that it's one-sided, but this love is mutual. Oh, we cannot estimate while in the body of this flesh, that we cannot comprehend or estimate the love of God, the love of Christ. We can only but fail if we try to contemplate it. The love that flows in return. The Lord, having loved us first, we love him in return. And the bride, her love flows to the bridegroom. And the closer the relationship, the nearer she is to the bridegroom, the greater the love. And the beauty she sees in him. And beloved friends, may we not forget the beauty that he sees in her. She thinks of herself. She's thinking rightly of herself as her best is stained and dyed with sin. She thinks of herself that she's unworthy, unfit. Yet, what does he think of her? Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. That loving, beautiful relationship, so wonderfully set forth in this glorious book. But this, for our text this evening, is a scene of calmness and peace. I sat down under his shadow with great delight. What a picture we have. There's quietness. That there's a resting. There's no busyness, but there's a contentment there. And there she sits. Well, what has brought her to this point? She's not found there by nature, anything but. In her lost, ruined, guilty, wretched, undone state by nature, there would be no great delight in her being anywhere near the bridegroom. There would be no beauty in him that she should desire him. Then what has caused this change to come about? Well, it's what we hinted at this morning. It's the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the grace of God. It's the mercy of God. It's the love of God. It's covenant love. It's a love that was fixed to that bride in eternity past. A love that cannot be removed, cannot be changed. Oh, but what a scene she's passed through. We read Psalm 61, and you think of the difference. Here we have a scene of calmness, tranquility, peace and rest. And here we have the psalmist. He speaks of being at the end of the earth. He says, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. Well, there's no nearness there, felt nearness to the Saviour, is there? There's no sitting down under his shadow there. He feels a separation. He feels to be far off. He feels to be anything but under the shadow of the Almighty. He feels to be at the end of the earth, at the end of everything. He says, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, my heart is overwhelmed. Has the Lord ever brought you to that point? Has he brought you to the feeling, the experience of it, being overwhelmed? Overwhelmed with many things. Well, we toil and struggle here below, don't we? There's things that overwhelm us in our lives, providentially, the troubles and cares of this life. Oh, but have you seen the Lord's hand in them? Have you seen him ordering all your ways? Have you felt that not a single shaft can hit till the God of love sees fit? Oh, have you had to acknowledge that way that he brought you, though it was rough, though it was a crooked way, yet he made it straight and he made it plain. Oh, and looking back, you can see that though at the time it felt so wrong and to be that wrong way, yet, oh, you look back now and you see all the way the Lord has led you thus far in your little life, and you have those spots and places where you can see his hand maybe leading you to these places where you feel overwhelmed. Yet, oh, it's for your real good. What came forth from you? Real prayer, real desire. What did he extract from you, poor sinner, that you couldn't give out of your heart yourself? Real hungering after him, a real need that you couldn't give yourself. Why? Because you're sinful, wretched and undone, and he knows it. Oh, but he knows how to bring forth out of us these earnest desires, these longings after him. Oh, he brings his dear children to places in their life like he brought the children of Israel to the Red Sea. Oh, they can't go forward because it's impossible to their eyes, and they can't go left or right. Oh, and there's no way back. Oh, and then what? From the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee. They're overwhelmed with fear. What will become of me? Where can I turn? I don't know what to even pray for. I don't even know what door to pray that might open. I can't see a door. I can't see an option before me. I know not what to do. What did Jehoshaphat do? He says, we know not what to do, but our eyes are up unto thee. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. You see, he's leading his dear people like a flock, like a shepherd leads his flock. And we say we're such foolish creatures. Oh, the Lord sees fit in his wisdom, the wise and good shepherd, to allow us to feel a sense of danger. You see, surrounded by the loving arms of the good shepherd, you know, we'd become complacent. We'd be resting on our lees. Soon the real true prayer would turn into a stale formality. Oh, we need a stirring up We need to know whom our help cometh from. We need to know whom we're dependent on. For the moment we think we become, the moment we feel to be independent, oh, then we're a prey to Satan. We're a prey to sin and Satan. When we feel we can manage, then we are a danger to ourselves. But this wise, good shepherd knows, and he sees fit then to lead us into places. He permits a sheep to wander a little from the flock, with his loving watchful eye over it, never out of his sight. But in wisdom, he sees fit to restrain his hand a little, allow a little wandering off. And there we learn more of ourselves. Oh, we learn more to distrust our own hearts. We learn not to lean to our own understanding. Oh, the Lord teaches us graciously and mercifully, and how long-suffering and patient he is with us. But time and time again, he's leading his people, teaching his flock that they can not do without him. They can do nothing without him. Oh, this continual lesson that we must be taught. This good shepherd then leads them. And he leads them into places and then delivers them. He brings them, oh, at times to the green pastures and beside the still waters. And he brings them to lie down. Oh, it is a lovely picture, isn't it? But in the first chapter of the Song of Solomon, we have this desire coming forth from the bride, the church. He says, "Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon." Oh, she has a longing. This is speaking of a longing desire. There's a love to the shepherd. She views the good shepherd leading his flock. Oh, and there's no other shepherd like him. Oh, he's such a loving, wise, gracious, kind shepherd. There's a desire flowing forth from her. She said, "Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, oh, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions?" Oh, no other shepherd will do. I can't turn aside. Oh, there's only one shepherd that will satisfy. Only one shepherd I must follow. There's only one wise and good shepherd. Oh, then tell me, dear Saviour, tell me where thy flocks rest at noon. Oh, the rest that remains for the people of God. Here am I. I'm in a world of sin. I'm toiling with sin and Satan. I'm battling in my heart, striving. And it's not a picture of rest. And there the people of God, the flock of his pasture, well, they're resting at noon. And here am I in the midday sun, toiling and labouring. Oh, the flocks of the good shepherd, they rest at noon. Oh, that midday sun's beating down. Oh, is that with you this evening? You look at the Church of God, and there's a peace that they have. Oh, there's a peace that they have in believing. They seem settled. They're at peace. They're at rest. And, oh, they have a contentment. And there you feel to be outside of that flock, with a longing desire to be in. And there, in your heart, in your life, it's anything but rest. There is therefore rest that remaineth for the people of God. And is that a barrier to you? Is it Satan saying, well, it's for the people of God, and that's why you're not at rest? It's your condemnation. Oh, may your desires flow forth. Oh, as you are given a right jealousy, a spiritual jealousy for that resting place for the people of God, may the Lord give you an urgency. Oh, to press on, to strive, to seek, to give diligence, to press through that crowd of unbelief, to press through that crowd that Satan puts up, and to lay hold, to reach out and touch the hem of his garment, that this peace may flow into your heart, that you may reach out and feel that healing virtue flow. That the Lord, as you venture, and it is, isn't it, a venture, we try what our poor prayers can do. We venture, not knowing what took place in that covenant of grace before eternity passed, but with a feeling, an experience in our hearts, in a day-to-day experience of it. Well, there's an urgency, there's a void the world can't fill. Oh, there's an unsettledness in this life. And there's the flock of Christ's fold at rest, and there's a desire to enter in. May you be sweetly drawn. May the Saviour reach out his loving hand this evening for those of you that aren't at rest, and say, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You're toiling under your sins. Oh, friends, cease this labour. You cannot remove one sin. Oh, you cannot mend your ways and make yourself better. Oh, may you cease from that labour. Oh, may you lay all your poor, sinful, wretched soul at the feet of the Saviour, and beseech him for mercy. Oh, may it be, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Come unto me, says this dear shepherd. He says, I am the door. You have to enter into that sheepfold through him, by him, no other way. But what a loving welcome. I am the door. And what a loving welcome he gives at those coming sinners. Oh, just as they are, they struggle there. Will they reach there at last? There's an unseen hand. The door opens, and in they enter. And a loving welcome. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Oh, that you may lay your burden at his feet. You may by faith be drawn to him. I sat down under his shadow with great delight. Oh, is that your heart's desire this evening? Will this be, the answer to your everything in this world? Is this the one thing needful for you this evening? Is this your urgent pressing case? Is there nothing else in this life that matters to you tonight than this? Oh, to sit down under his shadow. Now, that's where you long to be, sitting under his shadow. It is a scene of calm. It's a scene of peace. You know, you can't get a flock of sheep to lie down if there's danger. If a flock of sheep feel any frightening, they're scared in any way, they won't be lying down. What a skillful shepherd it takes, oh, to make the flock lie down. Oh, the psalmist, he says that, doesn't he, in that well-known Psalm 23. He speaks there and says, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He takes away every fear that unsettles me. The fear of next week, the unknown way, he removes all that fear. Well, there's still things in my way. This is the valley of the shadow of death. Yet his very presence with me, oh, it dispels all fear. This good shepherd, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Thou art with me." Is that what you desire this evening? You want the Lord's gracious presence to be known and felt in your life. And more than that, you want him to cause you to lie down in green pastures. Oh, you long for him to take away your every fear, every anxiety. You long for him to restore unto you, those of you who have known a little of these green pastures, those of you who have felt to have sat down under his shadow with great delight, but now you've upped and risen away. Oh, you long for it again. Lord, speak to me. Say to my soul again, I am thy salvation. Oh, may I know these fruits that come forth. What a beautiful tree we have set forth here. It gives shadow. Well, many trees give shadow, but this gives shadow and fruit. Oh, what more can we ask? Well, what more can a soul need than that this evening? Oh, that there's rest, there's shelter from the midday's burning sun. We've known a little of that, haven't we, in the past week? You know, how precious the shade has been. How precious the shade is in these eastern countries. Oh, what they give for a shadow in that midday sun. I sat down under his shadow with great delight. Oh, it was the greatest of delights to sit down and be at peace. To be at rest in your soul, to be at rest in your spirit, to be content with your little lot, to know that all things in your life are perfectly ordered by a wise, loving, heavenly friend who cannot, will not let anything come in except it be needful for you. Oh, what a rest there is then under this shadow. I sat down under his shadow with great delight. We have then a picture here of shade and shelter. In Isaiah, he speaks of a great rock. But he speaks of more than that. He says this, A man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Well, in those eastern countries, when you're nearer the equator, not much shadow is cast at midday, is it? When the sun is overhead, what a great rock we need to be around us, to find shelter in. A small rock won't do, will it? A small rock won't hide you in that midday sun. Ah, but there's a man, beloved friends. There's a man, and he's a great rock. Oh, he gives this shadow to his people. And more. Oh, it's that tree that we have set forth in our text this evening. There's shadow and there's fruit. What more can you want? Not only is there rest from that blazing sun, but while resting, while sitting beneath the shadow, well, with that feeling of delight, well, he feeds you. There's fruit for your eating. And it's more than just ordinary fruit, beloved friends. It was sweet to my taste. Oh, it hit my palate well. It satisfies. It's sweet. You know what fruit we bring forth? Well, there's bitterness in it, isn't there? There's sin mixed with the fruit that we bring forth. Oh, but the fruit from this tree. Oh, this fruit. For those sitting under that, in the shadow of it, it's sweet to their taste. It supplies their every need. And what fruits we have, don't we, in the gospel, that flow to sinners who seek to make their resting place in the shadow of the Lord Jesus Christ. For this is speaking of him. We have set forth him as a tree here, but it speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. That man, that great rock, that hiding place, that covert from the storm, covert from the sun, the blazing sun. Oh, we have set forth here the Lord Jesus Christ. Is your desire then this evening? Oh, you say, may I be found at the feet of the Lord Jesus. May the Holy Spirit come. This is my desire tonight. This is where my burden will roll away. This is where I long to be. Oh, coming as a sinner, just as I am, with my burden of sin, with all my wretchedness and guilt and filth that's making me toil, making me unrestful, making me wander around. Oh, may I be found at the feet of the Saviour. Think of that mad Gadarene. Well, what a picture we had there, didn't we? He was an absolute lunatic, wasn't he? Oh, not a picture of rest, not a picture of calm, not a picture of tranquility, not a picture of peacefulness, but oh, he was possessed with devils and was a lunatic. And we read those striking words. Nothing could tame him, could it? Nothing at all could tame him. He had his dwelling place among the tombs. No man could bind him. No, not with chains. Because he had often been bound with fetters and chains and had plucked them asunder. And he was always night and day in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. See the picture of it. Horrific picture. This man is crying and running around the mountains and the caves, self-harming himself, cutting himself with stones. It's not a picture of peace. It's not a picture of a child of God, is it? But he was one, he is one, beloved friends. He's in heaven this evening. What a picture then. Is that what you feel to be this evening? Like this mad Gadarene, Satan's dragging you here, there and everywhere with lots of temptations. You can't rest, you can't settle, it's driving you mad. Where will it end? Well, we read this. When he saw Jesus, afar off, he ran and worshipped him. That's the effect, beloved friends. One glimpse of the Saviour, that will change your life, won't it? Oh, that will stop your mad career. One glimpse of the Saviour. And then at the end of that account, we read this. And they came, didn't they, from the villages round about to see what was done. And they came to Jesus, and see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion, all those many devils inside him. What was he doing? Sitting. And probably never saw him ever like that in their lives. There he was, sitting and clothed and in his right mind. Oh, friends, what a transformation. What a conversion. What a turning around. Oh, and in a moment, through the Saviour. Oh, and his wondrous ability to do everything for his dear people. Oh, this shelter, this rock, this covert from the storm. That dear man sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind. Do you long to be there? Oh, clothed. What with what we've just sung of, the robe of righteousness, sitting there at the feet of Jesus. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. Is your desire then this evening this, maybe, that the Lord would take you by faith and lead you to Calvary? Oh, what a shadow is cast over a sinner there, as by faith they're enabled, sweetly drawn to the foot of the cross. What a shadow is cast over. It's a scene of horrificness. Oh, it's a dreadful scene that they behold. And yet, oh, what a scene of love. What a scene of love. It's with grief and horror, and yet with love and wonder, that soul is found at the foot of the cross. Oh, it is under the shadow. Oh, it's a great delight. Great does not sum up that feeling, does it? When a poor trembling sinner is brought by the Spirit to the foot of the cross, and there, lifting up their heads, they see the dying Saviour. He feeds them with fruit from his own lips. Oh, this was done for you. What a sweet, sweet fruit that is. Oh, we cannot describe, can we, the great delight when a sinner is brought to the feet of the Lord Jesus at Calvary. Oh, we cannot put into words. Words do not do it justice for that feeling of love that flows. It melts the sinner. It rolls the burden away. Oh, as they view him. Oh, and as the Saviour speaks. What's the sweetest of fruits that came from his lips? It is finished. Can you think of a sweeter fruit this evening? The Lord himself came and gave you that as a sweet fruit this evening. Friend, it's finished. All your sins, all your guilt, all your shame, it's all finished. Oh, it was laid on me. Justice has passed by you. You're free to go. I'm condemned to die. See me suffering, bleeding, dying, hanging. I'm here, oh, for my bride. I'm here for you, dear child of God. You're free, free from all condemnation. You're in Christ Jesus. You're found in me. Your name's in my heart. It's written on the palms of my hands. Oh, I'll never leave thee, nor forsake thee. What another lovely fruit drops into your lap. Friends, look up this evening. You're sitting under his shadow. You may say this evening, it's been a long time since I felt some fruit on my lips. Look up. Oh, friends, look up. What an abundance of fruit. What a fullness there is in Christ. May your eyes be up unto the Saviour. May you see the fruit. Oh, how not only is it attractive to your eye, but he gives it freely. Take, eat. Oh, friends, it's sweet to the taste. Redeeming love, there's nothing sweeter, is there? Pardoning love and blood, mercy streams in streams of blood, flowing from his hands, feet, and side. Nothing sweeter. Oh, that lamb, without blemish and without spot. This man, what a man. This man that's a great rock in a weary land. Oh, you can find shelter there, can't you, this evening? No matter how large a sinner you are, he's a great rock, you know. Won't be any of you left exposed. All sins are blotted out there. Oh, the multitude of the transgressions are covered. The most shameful profession, the most shameful life, for a loved child of God is covered with that glorious robe of righteousness. You won't get out of it. You can't slip through it. Oh, you won't miss it, dear child of God. It covers all. Oh, all your shame has once been a sinner, hidden forever. And your poor, sin-stained soul, washed forever. Oh, I sat under his shadow with great delight. And his fruit was sweet to my taste. Beloved friends, it's a fruit, isn't it, when we hear it's finished. But there's a lovely fruit that Paul writes to the Hebrews concerning. Oh, he speaks of the Lord Jesus and that finished work. He speaks of him as a high priest. You know, in the tabernacle, the high priest would enter into the holiest of holies once a year to offer a sacrifice for his sin and for the sins of the people. The Day of Atonement. You know, there was no seat in there, was there? Lots of other things. We read a long list of all different items that were found in the tabernacle. No chair. No rest. The priest was continually. You read the sacrifices, there was daily ones, all the ceremonial law. There's no rest in that, is there? Is it not a picture of rest? There's no sitting, the priest continually offering. Oh, but this man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. He sat down. What a fruit that is to you and to me, if we have a hope in our hearts of being found, wrapped up in that bundle of life with the Lord our God. He sat down. He rested. He rested from his labours. He spent his strength. And now he receives the fruit of it into heaven. Oh, beloved friends, he sat down, finished, the work done. There's no rest in the law. There's no rest for you seeking to obey that law, striving to mend your ways. Where's the rest to be found? Where's the rest for the people of God? In their own works? In their own ability? In their own self? In what they can do? No rest. No, all toil, all labour. Where's the resting place for your soul and mine this evening? In Christ Jesus, in the gospel, there's rest for a weary soul. There's rest for a tempted sinner. There's rest for a burdened sinner. There's a wonderful shadow to cast over. Oh, that the burden is lifted. The burning sun is masked out, and there the poor sinner sits, resting. On what? On the merits of the Saviour. Enjoying the fruits of the Saviour. his obedience, his righteousness, his wonderful love, his covenant love, his graces, his wonderful life, the fruits that flow from the gospel, flowing into the sinner's heart. Oh, what a place to be. Oh, may you and I know a little of it in our hearts, in the experience of it. May you tonight have a desire to be found there. Oh, may you be found, not like we sing in that hymn. Oh, she was toiling, wasn't she, in that hymn. Not the labour of my hands can fulfil thy law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know, could my tears forever flow, all for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. There's your rest, beloved friends. Oh, may you give diligence. May you seek to make, may you give diligence to make your calling and your election known. May you strive to enter in. Oh, may you have that desire in your hearts. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day were £575, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Parish will administer the Lord's Supper after this service. There will be a prayer meeting for the nation tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Robert Peel. And God willing, Mr. Fred Ince will preach on Tuesday evening and Mr. Philip Warren next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn number 55. Come, guilty souls, and flee away to Christ and heal your wounds. This is the welcome gospel day wherein free grace abounds. Hymn 55.
Of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.